Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite runners to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you listen in.
Previously on The Rundown with Ben Flanagan.
Okay, if I want to be the best, I don't know, whatever, banker, or if I want to be a great teacher, or all of these other disciplines that it's like, I think people just like default to hard work, hard work, hard work. But what running's taught me is it's more a matter of like sustainability, productivity, consistency, and like smart behaviors. Like that's what yields productive outcomes, not necessarily just like doing work just to do work. Do you know what I mean?
On this episode of The Rundown, I enjoyed a great conversation with elite distance runner and mile to marathon coach, Justin Kent. Justin played all sports growing up, but decided to turn his focus to running. With the influence of his father and coaches, he's been able to grow up through the sport in a positive way. He holds speedy times in the 1500 meters all the way up to the marathon, and he races all distances to keep himself sharp for any challenge. His ultimate goal is to make an Olympic team, slowly building year after year in pursuit of his own personal potential. This episode of The Rundown is brought to you by Exact Nutrition. I was looking for a tasty, vegan-friendly alternative to traditional gels, and Exact Energy Bars passed the test. Now available in Canada and the US, you'll definitely want to try them on your next long run. And they're offering you 15% off your order when you use the promo code LARUNDOWN. So go to exactnutrition.com and fuel your goals today. First off, I'd like to apologize for my voice in this recording. Clearly, travel and racing have caught up to me. In this week's news, I'm back from Berlin and history was made yet again. Arguably the best marathoner of all time, Eliud Kipchoge broke his own world record by running the marathon in 2 hours, 1 minute, and 9 seconds, shaving 30 seconds off his previous best time. He set the previous record in 2018 on the very same course. On the women's side, a Canadian national record was broken yet again by distance runner Natasha Wodak. It's incredible how far she's come considering she's relatively new to the distance. She ran the race of her life, coming through in 2 hours, 23 minutes, and 12 seconds. When we spoke to Tasha on this podcast in 2018, she was focused on the 10K. Now she's rocking marathons, and it's been so fun to watch her progression. I think it's an interesting lesson we all can take note of. Even the best in the sport take years to achieve their best in an unfamiliar distance. So there's no rush. Take your time getting comfortable with volume and signing up for a long race. Build slowly and gradually. Eventually, you'll get there. Make sure to check the show notes for links to this story, special offerings, as well as the ongoing protests. There will also be a list of funds and foundations that need your support. So please consider donating to help support this movement. That's all for now. Gotta run. This interview is the first one I'm doing actually after the Berlin Marathon, my third world major, and it was amazing to be there. And running felt like it was back among thousands and thousands of runners. Got to connect with a bunch and was, you know, got some more energy for this show and look forward to having more conversations. So I'm really happy to have on the show today another great Canadian runner. He's pretty speedy in all the distances and recently is more focused in the half and full, making big strides and pushing his own limits in those distances. And since I'm coming off a marathon, it'd be great to pick his brain on training and race day execution and stuff like that. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome to the show Justin Kent.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be on, and thank you for the lovely intro.
Yeah, no problem. We tried to get this one done before actually I left, but I'm happy we could get it done after. And I just finished the marathon, like I mentioned, and I'm looking forward to talking to you about that a little bit and how you view that distance and your place in that.
Yeah, no, and the marathon's a beast, and I think especially you experiencing Berlin and what happened over the weekend is, I mean, I might have to pick your brain and get a rundown on that. So, but yeah, no, I'm psyched to be on. So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So how are things going for you recently? You know, obviously I said, I mentioned that racing is back, coming off of, you know, the pandemic. This felt like, for me, Berlin felt like, the majors are back. Like, this is now running and racing is really at the forefront, and everyone's really excited to be in it. So how are things going for you recently?
Yeah, things have been going really well. I'm just kind of getting into a little bit of a racing stint. I'm racing in San Jose next weekend, the San Jose Rock and Roll half. But I had a good break. My last like big race was Ottawa Marathon back in May. And I kind of gave a fair bit of time to let my body rest and give a bit of a mental breather as well. And then I've just kind of been picking things up slowly over the summer and yeah, I'm just getting back into some racing. I ran the Canadian 5K Road Champs, early September to kind of get the wheels turning a bit. But the big focus this fall is just trying to run a couple fast halves and set myself up to run a fast marathon in the spring. Haven't ironed out details on that quite yet, but yeah, training is going well and just wanting to get, you know, keep consistent and keep stacking, solid weeks and, just trying to get a little bit better.
I find, and you mentioned a few distances there. So the half and the 5K, and I find it's, you know, everyone jumps to the marathon. I feel like it's the big distance. It's attractive. It's the main event, the heavyweight fight. And I just want to know, like, from you and you know, I was looking at your times and, you know, you're quick at all of them. At what point is it more beneficial, do you feel, to just scale it back maybe? Or maybe would that be your recommendation to focus on a shorter distance to build speed to then come back to the marathon?
Yeah, I think everyone's different. And I think depending on what you respond to and what motivates you really varies. I find when I'm running my best, I'm usually very versatile, you know, and I could run a fast 5K, but I also have the strength to kind of run a really fast half. And so I kind of like looking at it from both ends. And with our training, we incorporate a fair bit of a bit of both. With regards to like coaching, and I'm a coach with Malta Marathon, and it is always a little bit of a tricky situation to navigate, because I think a lot of people could benefit. You know, there's that lure and that of the marathon, and it's such a, you know, it is our sport, and it's like, it's just so cool, and it carries so much weight. But I think sometimes, like I think what you're getting at, I think it would be a very beneficial for someone to, you know, pull the volume back and work on, you know, trying to run a fast 5K. And that's something with Miles Marathon that we do a fair bit. We encourage we have a couple races throughout the year, Chase the Pace, where we give athletes an opportunity to race on the track and see what they can do on a track 5K. And I think that's something that often gets neglected. Like when you know, hop into road racing, in your, you know, adult years, and you just instantly kind of get into the marathon. I think some people can, you know, trickle that, come down from the marathon and work on their speed. But I think sometimes it gets overlooked. And, you know, you run a fast 5K, you're going to run a faster 10K. You run faster 10K, you're going to run a faster half. And it kind of always, at least my philosophy, always kind of trickles upwards and makes, mm-hmm. you know, if you're running a fast 5K, it'll make a marathon effort feel like a jog. So that's which is always kind of nice. But yeah, I think certainly I encourage it more and more.
Yeah, because it's like I said, we fall in this trap a little bit of like, you know, that's the big distance, right? A little bit. So
yeah.
Where I think, you know, sometimes I think like, oh, because you look at athletes and usually the ones that have the pedigree, you know, track pedigree, cross country, and with some quicker times and quicker turnover, then it's just a matter of just building the endurance side of things, I think. So that, I think, I mean, I've seen it in a lot of athletes. I think when I, and we were talking before we started recording about like Tasha Wodak and this, you know, the record that she broke in Berlin. And I mean, I remember when I first spoke to her, it was in Ottawa and she was running the 10K champs. Yeah. She didn't even want to talk about marathon.
Yeah.
And that was like, this is our fifth season. So like that was in, you know, a relatively short window, you know, so.
Yeah.
And she's been able to translate it, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, well, but like even on the men's side too, like Ben Flanagan, someone else that I think does this really well and does it to a T, where, you know, he's, you know, breaking four on the track and also running, you know, 61 high in a marathon in a half. So I think with Natasha, I see how her development as an athlete, and she focused on the 10 for quite a bit. I think she was, you know, both two Olympics in the 10K, maybe one, and then the marathon, I guess. But yeah, I think sometimes with marathoning, we get into this, like you said, trap where, or a cycle where, you know, you do a spring marathon, you do a fall marathon. And I think if you keep doing that, you'll probably get super strong. And, but for myself, I've found that I didn't want to neglect my speed and I want to still get faster. So that I can kind of, you know, so going from a spring marathon, drop down, start doing some 5K stuff, you know, trying to run some fast 10Ks so we can try and run a quick half and then maybe approach the marathon down the road. So it just doesn't get stale, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And it keeps it interesting, you know, and also the recovery that your body's going to face with a shorter distance is much less than it would be for a marathon. Cause it's a grueling distance.
Oh, and totally.
Yeah. And the speeds at which you're running it at are also challenging. So yeah, I think it's good what you're saying, that like switch it up. Is that like a built-in strategy that you have, or is the focus always going? Is it now to get to the marathon and make those improvements?
Yeah, I think I think my coach Richard. I will blindly, you know, follow his lead, but I see where, you know, his philosophy is very similar, and you know, I've adopted a lot of everything I know is kind of coming from him. And I think he recognizes that, in that I think, you know, in order for you to run a fast marathon, you're going to have to be in, you know, 28 mid or shape for a 10K. And everything kind of trickles up from that. So I think it's a bit of both. I think in terms of just your body's adaptations, if you keep, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, you'll get really good at doing that one thing. But I think if you want, you know, new stimulus and your body to grow and adapt, I think you kind of have to switch it up a little once in a while and work on different aspects. And so that's what we try and do. And you know, we're not losing touch with any, you know, volume throughout the year. If we're doing more 5K stuff, we're just, maybe workouts are a little bit more, just a bit of a different blend. And we're working on turnover, or I'm just trying to run a bit faster and a bit more relaxed, but yeah.
Did watching the Berlin Marathon, or did you watch it? And does that give you the itch to race those bigger races?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think, I'd love to, I've never run a world major, so it's definitely, hopefully I'll get my opportunity soon. But yeah, I think it's, I can only imagine the atmosphere, and I honestly, I think it would be a little hard to keep your calm and keep your composure, you know, earlier on in the race. I think it'd be too easy sometimes maybe to get like excited from the crowd, and really just kind of stay in the zone and stay in your kind of happy place. I'm one to, like, if there's a crowd, I'll kind of feed off of it. And I think my first marathon or second marathon, I kind of, I let my body get excited maybe too early, and I thought I was feeling fantastic, and then you you know, as you learn, you kind of pay for it in the last like 8K or so. I'd love to hop on the line one day, but I'm not sure exactly when that major will be, but hopefully soon. Yeah, I'd like to still make some teams, and then one, you gotta run some fast times to even get considered for those. So
you mentioned Ben Flanagan, but I just had him on the show, and that's also his focus. I mean, to make the teams, where do you think that opportunity is for you? Like, what distance do you think you'll be able to have the best shot?
Yeah, it's tough these days. I think, I think I'm in the sport to, you know, see how far I can take it and how far I can take, you know, my body. And, the marathon has definitely been I've always wanted to pursue it. And I've loved the training. And, so if I, you know, I've had an opportunity to try and make, you know, a world team in the marathon, an Olympic team in the marathon, that would be phenomenal. But I do know, you know, we're kind of at this, renaissance of Canadian distance running, especially in the marathoning now. And, it's not going to be an easy feat for sure. Especially when you have a guy running 207. So, I'm just wanting to run as fast as I can and see where that puts me. So, if that lines me up on a team, where I get to put the Canadian vest on, that would be, you know, dream come true. You never know. I know it'd be nice to make the world half team as well. I made that in 2020, and then they pulled the plug on us like the night we were supposed to fly out. So that was a bit of a bummer, but hopefully get another shot at that team.
Mm-hmm. I heard a clip from actually Tasha on a podcast after her race, and she was talking about on the women's side how they're all pushing each other. You know, it's an interesting time for, like you mentioned, running, you know, marathon racing and the camaraderie amongst them and the support that they share. Do you feel the same way on the men's side as well? Is it very competitive? Are you guys friends? Or
oh yeah,
do you have any insight on that?
I'm in a unique position that I'm like the slowest guy on my team, and I've run 2:13, my coach also coaches Trevor Hofbauer, who once in a while I get to work out with. He lives in Kelowna, but he'll pop down for workouts with us occasionally. And then I get to train on a regular basis with Ben Flanagan, who's run 2:10. So I'm in pretty good company. But I think it's all, you know, positive and all camaraderie. I think we all know that we wouldn't be where we are without one another. So, it is a healthy, environment and a healthy, like, competitiveness, across Canada. Seeing what Cam's been able to do, gives a lot of us, perspective, that, like, you know, if you buckle down and run absurd mileage and, you know, completely change your focus of your life and do all the little things, that you can make it happen. So I think, I think it's all positive. I mean, there's definitely, you know, a competitive edge, but, I think it's all in good sport. And I mean, you never know in the next few years who's going to be moving up to the marathon too. And we've got a lot of guys running fast times on the track, that could easily slide into some road races and shake things up even further. So, I wouldn't be surprised even seeing the marathoning depth in Canada just escalating, and then over the next cycle, I should say. So
mm-hmm.
It's a good,
and that's super, super exciting, you know, for the sport
100%.
And, you know, in Canada. And, like, it seems like the leaders are changing every time, you know, like every so often you hear, okay, so-and-so broke this record, and then, you know, chasing that. But if you're all moving into that direction, it's probably awesome to train together or share, you know, ideas on the sport and training. And And you mentioned Trevor, you mentioned Cam, sorry. And did you feel like, you know, you said like there's some sacrifice you have to make. Do you think your life sets up for that much success? Like, how far do you need to go to reach that level, you know?
Yeah, that's always a tricky topic, I guess. I mean, I'm sure it doesn't at the time. I don't want to say sacrifice, perhaps, because I think we all enjoy and love what we're doing, and it's like for sure it's a privilege that we're able to do what we're able to do. But I think you have to make it it has to be, as you get older, like you have to provide. Marathon running isn't as lucrative as anyone knows. It's not a very lucrative endeavor, but I think it's more or less making it a lifestyle that you enjoy and that you that can endure. And I know Cam's like his training is pretty phenomenal, and I think that's where you almost have to ask, like, can I am I willing to do, you know, that much to get to that level, and or will my body like even allow me to do that? It's a fine line, I think, but I love it, and I'm gonna keep doing it as long as I can. So
mm-hmm. And you're doing other things other than running too, right? So you're not only building, but you have a life going on outside of running too, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's a lot of juggling these days. I need a fair bit of balance. I mean, and I'll always, you know, balance is a perspective. These days I'm fairly busy, but I find I need kind of a little bit of a distraction from, if I was just running all the time, I think I'd probably overanalyze things and maybe even do too much and potentially get myself hurt. So I usually find I run best when I'm happiest. When I'm happiest is usually I have other outlets in my life, so that running becomes more of a joy and less of a burden, if that makes sense. So,
So what do you like to do when you're not running?
Oh my. These days I'm in school. I'm in a grad program at Simon Fraser in business. I enjoy learning. I enjoy like running, just like improving myself, I guess. I guess like anyone, I enjoy hanging out with friends, and I coach with Malta Marathon as well, and that's been a lot of fun, just sharing, you know, being able to share my knowledge I've gained in the sport, good and bad, that I've experienced, to kind of help people navigate their goals and their journeys in running. And and then I also do a few side, like, marketing related digital space roles. So it's a bit to juggle, but I love it.
Keeps you busy.
Yeah. Yes.
The running probably helps you clear your mind, right?
Oh yes. It's amazing how therapeutic it is. And I find I do some of my like best thinking when I'm on the run. Oddly enough, it's when my thoughts are like clearest. I don't know if I wasn't able to run, I don't know how I would be in day-to-day life. I'd probably be way more like high strung, or way more anxious for sure.
I always like go back to the start, you know, a lot about where someone comes from or how they grew up or were they active as a kid, and kind of get to know you a little bit better on that side. So can you share that with us, and maybe let us know when running came into play?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I was quite active when I was a kid. I played, I think I was just chatting with my dad about it the other day, because I'm also getting married in October. But that's side.
Oh, congrats.
Side note. But we were chatting that I was I think at a certain point I was playing like four sports at once, which was like kind of ridiculous. So I played soccer, hockey, baseball, and then running came later in high school, I guess. But I loved, like any Canadian, I played hockey and soccer in the fall, and then I played baseball in the spring. I guess that's on the West Coast, that's how the dynamic worked out. So I played that for quite a few years, all through like elementary and then I shifted, started taking soccer a bit more seriously. And then running just kind of came organically. Like I was always known that I could, I played outside mid and I could kind of run the legs off, my opponents all day up and down. And so running just kind of came to me. My dad ran collegiately for UBC, and so and still ran maybe when I was younger. Still runs today, I should say. And I think like just seeing the lifestyle he had developed, the friends he had made, the stories you hear as you grow up, it always had sparked an interest in me, but I never maybe pursued it or just stayed in other sports longer than most, I think. And I dabbled in like high school track here and there, running I think around the 400 in grade 8, and then slowly moved up and then started taking things a bit more serious kind of grade 11. I started to doing like I joined a track club and started running like 3Ks and then started to run like running well at provincials and then from there kind of the rest is history. I went to UBC on a scholarship in running and I haven't looked back. Running all four, the running has just slowly replaced all four sports essentially.
And there's a little bit of running in all of them except for the hockey maybe.
Well, and the hockey was I would if it didn't collide with soccer, like I think I would have kept playing longer. It just at a certain point I had to kind of make a choice between soccer and hockey. And out west we have, because of our mild winters, we have soccer in the fall, which I think the rest of the country has it in the summer, which always makes me wonder if I lived somewhere else how I would have navigated that. But pursued soccer over hockey. But yeah, to this day, I wish I got out more on my skates, and I definitely miss that that aspect of it. But running.
Well, look at you now.
Yeah, look at me now. Yes. Yep.
and I always find the parallel with soccer a really funny one, because I was also a midfield player and not a highly skilled one, but I would just hunt people down from coast to coast and chase them across the field. So I can definitely relate to you on that and how that might translate to distance running, down the line.
Yeah,
and there's all these like little tells.
Oh, totally. Yeah, and it's interesting too, because I didn't realize this at the time, but my grade 12 year, I was never I never ran that much mileage in high school. Like it was a lot of like very quality work, versus any sort of like, I don't even know. I'd have to look back in my log. Like I probably was running like 60K a week at most. But what I didn't realize at the time, like, and now looking back, is on Sundays, I was chatting with this about Ben on my long run the other day. Like I would go, my long run was like a 10K around a loop in Burnaby. And I would do that in the morning with my like team. And then I would go off to soccer game and play like 90 minutes and just like sprint up and down the like sidelines for 90 minutes. So I was probably getting like pretty decent mileage without even knowing it at the time. So always a unique little tidbit to look back on.
Mm-hmm. And maybe something we can learn from too, like, is that something you maybe prescribe to your athletes, how to get still some endurance, but maybe doesn't have to necessarily be running? Like it could be cycling or swimming, or I don't know. I don't know what you think about that.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I make sure, especially it's always tough, with athletes, especially if they're working, you know, 40-hour weeks, to do the like a Saturday workout, Sunday long run is sometimes a lot, especially if you're not used to it. So I usually try and encourage my, at least, you know, one day a week where athletes are doing something non-running related. You know, that could be hopping on the bike for an hour or, you know, hitting the pool. Something I think that just keeps them a bit more well-rounded. They're getting some aerobic stimulus from, but it's not as taxing on their body. So, and also it just gives them a break mentally. I think that can play have huge benefits to it just in and of itself. So yeah, I encourage, I mean, it's definitely like athlete specific. Some like just don't enjoy doing anything other than running, and others like they kind of gravitate towards that. So yeah, it varies, but I highly recommend, yeah, having taking that almost like triathlon approach to adding a bit more volume without you know, working on the legs too much.
Mm-hmm. What kind of athlete were you as a kid? Like, were you highly competitive? Were you, I don't know. Do you high energy, or what was the?
I don't know. I've always been that, like. So I was quite a late bloomer, I should say. So I was probably that really tiny, like, I'm now like 6'3". So, but I'm back, you know, when I was in high school, I probably didn't have a growth spurt until like grade 11. So I was like 5 foot nothing, like maybe 100 pounds, but I was very quiet and a little more timid. I mean, I was competitive, but I would never vocalize it, I guess. And I think, so it's interesting, like, it's like I've realized now that I kind of grew up with this very like, developing like a bit more timidness because I was a little bit smaller and not as vocal, and now I almost forget that I'm like 6'3", and you know, I should have this like louder personality, I guess. But I'm actually my self like image is still this like little like shy you know, kid in grade 9 that hasn't hit his growth spurt yet, and
yeah.
So It is interesting. But yeah, you'd maybe have to ask my teammates, but I mean, I was, you know, there's a competitiveness, but I felt like I would always, I mean, I love the team dynamic, of soccer. And that's something I've always missed with running is that like competitiveness with another team. You don't quite have, or maybe the physicality of that, you don't quite have that with running, as much. I mean, you have a bit of team dynamic, but it's not to the same extent, you know, you know what I mean?
Because running is an individual sport, and like in a soccer team, for example, like the goal is a team, truly a team goal.
Yeah.
Like if you win, you all win, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the closest I've been on a few relays, over my running career, and so that's like the closest, and that's really cool. And that's like, yeah, the closest parallel, I'd say. But yeah, beyond that, it's very individual based. I mean, we get that a bit with my team I'm on right now. But it is more or less what you put in is what you get out. But
And who would you say saw the potential in you, or were you able to see that in yourself?
I've been definitely my dad. He probably actually, well, he would have seen it sooner than anyone else, and even before I did. Because part of the reason I didn't actually run track like competitively until like grade 10 was he wanted to not necessarily like hold me back, but he thought I would. It's one of those sports where there's a high burnout rate. If you running is not that glamorous. You know, the training is not that, you know, inspiring or that fun as a young kid. And he knew that. And I think over his career had seen how many, you know, potentially great athletes maybe got in really early and then maybe like, just took training too seriously too soon. And then they lost the joy of it. And so I think he really sort of held me back, or not necessarily held me back, but kind of directed me a bit more to other sports, so that, you know, when I was mature enough to handle the training and the had the mindset to like enjoy running versus it being a chore, he kind of let me off the leash a little bit. So yeah, like that's part of the reason I was doing, like, I think I ran the 400 in grade 8, is he just wanted me to work on my speed and knew that if I was, I would probably be pretty good in like the distance events, but I would probably like get addicted by it. And then who knows what I'd be like by like grade 10 or grade 12, I might've been, you know, sick of the sport. So, so it definitely like kept me hungry. And I mean, it's probably why I'm running, this much, at when I'm 30. So, yeah, it's definitely my dad, saw the potential before anyone else. So.
And have you ever stopped, or like, have you been running ever since, kind of thing?
I have. I mean, yeah, I've had, you know, breaks here and there. You know, some injuries here and there, but more or less, just kept going. And I probably fully intend to be like 60 and going out for my 1 mile jog.
You get out with pops sometimes and head out for one?
I do, yeah, occasionally. His goal is this year is to join me on my cool down for 5K. It might be a little slower cool down that day, but that's been his goal. So, but yeah, I mean, I grew up, you know, going for runs with him around Burnaby Lake. And so he'll join me on the bike occasionally here and there for some like long runs and stuff. But the odd run we'll get into. But yeah, he's getting up there. And sometimes he just doesn't want to hold me back at all too. So the cool down's a nice happy medium because the work's done. And he'll be huffing and puffing and working it, you know, maybe running like 430 Ks, but, or 420 Ks, but, yeah, it's a good time.
Still not bad.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Still not bad.
Yeah. He's still, I think he's still more of a 400, 800 or sorry, 800. Like, he ran a few like masters events. He actually ran world masters. I think he was running like two flat or broke two. So he hasn't quite moved up like most people would, you know, as they get older to start moving up in distance. He's kind of stayed on the, like, I want to see if I could break 60 in the 400 sort of thing, which is kind of cool, but also I'm weary of how that'll do with his hamstrings.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, maybe some more strength work will help him there. We got to maybe have your dad on the show then. I had Carla Del Grande on the show not too long ago, and she's a sprinter into her 60s. So, it's fun, yeah. Right? It becomes fun even at an old age.
Well, he'd have quite a few stories. He was training in the 80s when Vancouver was kind of like the hub of Canadian distance running, especially like KJAX was at its like height. I think there was like every like Canadian record holder was training in Vancouver at the time. So, I mean, he was never at that level, but he was, you know, at those workouts and was roommates with them. So, he'd have a lot of stories there.
Why do you think Vancouver is such a great place for runners?
I think compared to the rest of Canada, I think just being able to train year round, you know, without snow, like we'll have maybe one or I could count on my hand how many times I would have to, you know, hop on a treadmill in my life living in Vancouver. It's pretty phenomenal. I mean, you got to deal with a lot of rain, but I think it's a good price to pay for somewhat you know, nice weather year round. And I think just especially Vancouver itself, the trails, I think it's like, there's so many places, like it's, we kind of have our pickings of some pretty phenomenal spots to train. I live in Burnaby right now, and I'm about like a 2K away from Burnaby Lake. That's a beautiful like 10K loop, but you can do, you know, almost half a marathon on soft trails without having to touch the same trail twice. Like it's pretty phenomenal. And there's a couple different spots like that. I mean, most cities I'm sure have that, but I think the fact that you can use that year round is quite unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a hub now for like Olympic distance runners. So, you know, a lot of great runners are coming from there. And also, like you mentioned, running in the trails, like you don't have to deal with traffic and you can get that consistency that you need without having to stop and be bothered. And getting distracted by nature, too, is always a great way to train, I think. especially when you're hurting. So it sounds like you have a pretty, like, nice relationship with running. Would you say that's always been the case?
Yeah, I think... I think looking back, I think it's always been a positive outlet. I think it's definitely changed, like running has changed for me over the years as I've just gotten older and matured and you're at different points in your life. It just becomes different aspects of it kind of gravitate towards you. And like, you know, when I was younger, it was probably more of an identity thing. And it was something that I was, you know, good at and found success in. And now, I mean, that still is the case. I still enjoy it and love it. But I think it's also, it's given me a lot more purpose. It's given me a way to connect with community. It's become a lot more of a social component. I think running has always been a very positive outlet for me. And it's hard to think what it would be like without running sometimes. I'm in this grad program, and it's always interesting when people like you want to introduce yourself, but you don't want to like come across that like you're this like psycho runner. It is a very big component of my life. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I think it's always been very positive, though.
Yeah, and it keeps, you know, I can relate to that too. And you know, it keeps us in shape too as we get older. It's a nice sport that we can use for mental health, physical health, and continue to push our own limits or use it for whatever it is that we want. You know, for some people, it's just getting out the door to collect their thoughts. Other people, it's weight loss, or you know, some people it's just general fitness. So I think that's even as I get up in age, I found that like running's kept me relatively good health, and you know, that's at the bare minimum, that's pretty good, you know.
And I mean, it's just the way the different experiences you've probably had through running that you wouldn't have otherwise. Like, you know, it's kind of trivial to think that you were just in Berlin running for 42.2K and probably met a bunch of really cool people. And you wouldn't have, if you didn't have that in your life, like, you know, it's just an interesting way to think of it. And it's so unique that you can go across the world and speak and not speak the same language, but share this like very intrinsic commonality, I guess. It's
beautiful. Yeah, for sure. And you know, like it's funny too when you're in a place like that, when you're training for like distance, when in distance running or like a marathon, it almost becomes normal. Like we feel like it's normal, like it's a normal thing to do, but like you talk to any other person on the street and they're like, that's insane, you know? So So like I was telling you before we got started, like, you know, fully prepared to run Berlin and was on track for a very, you know, a great result, one that I was after. But at a certain point, my legs would not push further. And then all of a sudden, you know, cramping up and stuff. But in the back of my mind, I was just like, just shifted to gratitude and just happy to be in a new country, different place. I'm always in awe that these places close their whole city down for one event, and that we all get to be part of it. So yeah, you gotta catch yourself a little bit sometimes.
Totally.
And just try and put things into perspective, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think and that's something I found with Malta Marathon that's has given me, I didn't really anticipate when I started coaching with them, was the what I would learn from my athletes, or what I would learn about myself from my athletes. And just like what you said, like it gives you such a perspective that it is such a privilege to be able to do what we're doing on a daily basis. And just gives a lot more clarity and weight to, like, you know, the fact that I'm able to just, like, sometimes I forget, like, it's not, going and running 110 miles a week. It's not a normal thing to do. And there, a lot of things have to go right for that to happen. And like, you need to be like very, you have to have a lot of good luck and a lot of health in your life, for you to do that. And I think sometimes that I lose sight of that, and lose sight that this is, a privilege to be able to do. It gives a lot of, such a unique perspective on training and my capabilities. So it's really nice. Very grounding.
Yeah, for sure. And what would you say, going through this coaching, what are some of the main things that your athletes are asking you?
A lot of, just general, weekly training setup. It could be, mileage, it could be, mental, components of the sport. It could be a bit more form orientated. It's a wide variety. And I think it depends on the individual. Just a lot of, I'm kind of like, let them know that I'm a bit of an open book. And if they have a, question here or there about, the philosophy of why we're doing, some drills before the workout, or why we're doing this specific workout, I try and lay out more than just the workout and kind of give them the purpose behind it, so that, hopefully down the road they know, it's not like they're just reading a plan and they're learning as well, and they're learning why they're doing certain things and what they're why they're doing certain things to, like, accomplish a certain goal in training. It really varies, or it could be just a discussion, because they're having something rough going on in their life and they need someone to chat about it with. I'm kind of the a catch-all, and I thoroughly enjoy, just, I think being a coach is, you're not just like, writing workouts, you're it's very personal, and I find when an athlete's running really well, usually other components of their life are going well, and it's usually hand in hand. And when one thing kind of gets unbalanced, running can kind of get unbalanced. And so it's just trying to find a happy medium. And if I could assist, training to accommodate, if they're going through a stressful period in work, with regards to work, and, we're going to lay off volume a little bit this week, just to make it a little easier on them, and then we can kind of pile it back on next week, I think that'll be better for them in the long run, versus, digging themselves a hole and adding more stress to their life that they don't necessarily need. So, I might have gone on a long-winded one there, but yeah, it really varies, but, I thoroughly enjoy it.
No, I love that. And I started coaching myself, and, not on purpose, that's what I think set out to do, but, was getting asked to do it. And, and that's like you were saying, it's a huge part of it, on a professional level, these runners need to perform at the highest level and still pay their bills. What a lot of other runners are doing, not at the same level, is they're doing this pretty much the same thing.
100%.
Different speed, but without maybe some some financial assistance, maybe, you know, if you're one of the lucky ones. But trying to manage life and also not and also stay on track is one of the biggest challenges I find. And it comes down to consistency too, you know. If I can say, like, some of my suggestions have been, you know, if the workouts are hard to get in this week, let's just get the runs in, you know, to clear your mind, you know. And similar to what you're saying about, like, dropping volume to kind of make it easier on them this week so they're not stressed about getting their long run in, or, you know. It's a juggling act.
Totally. It has to be adaptive. And like, I think you were just mentioning, like, some of my athletes, I'm actually, like, inspired by them. And they kind of, like, if I get on my phone, you know, when I wake up and I just, you know, scrolling through Strava or something, and I see, you know, a few of the, I'm supposed to have a morning run that morning and I'm a little, you know, tired, I hit snooze, and I see, like, a few of my athletes have already gone and, like, crushed 10K, and it's not even, like, six, and they've done it at, like, five. Like, it gives me, you know, okay, you need to get your butt out of in gear. And if they're doing that and juggling a 40-hour work week and they have kids and they're running this, like, there's no reason why you're not able to do what you're doing right now.
For sure. And so how do you keep it relatable, or how can you relate to runners that aren't at your level? Like, how do you keep it so they're comfortable coming to you and speaking to you about whatever it is?
I don't think I'm intimidating at all. So I try and keep, you know, I always kind of have an open door sort of policy. If they need to email or find me a quick note, they can kind of come to me with anything. But I feel like in I might be faster in times, but it's all relative. I think I might be doing more volume, but I'm still, the work ethic is still the same. And I think, I'm not being paid to run either. So I still have to, you know, make ends meet in different ways. And so I think they still recognize that. And I'm not on this, like, pedestal where I'm, you know, getting paid, you know, hundreds of thousands from Nike and, you know, I'm able to go for my, you know, I can do a double and not have to have anything else during the day. I'm still making it work like everyone else. So I think I'm just, maybe it is a little bit more relatable in that regard. I think it's always, I try and always harp that, like some of them are always maybe like the, because it's so much faster, like on my off days or, like they, I think get caught up in the times, but I think they need to kind of realize that it's all relative. Like, speed is all relative. It's still a hard effort. Whether, you know, you're running a 20-minute 5K or running a 14-minute 5K, like, you're still pushing your limits. So, I think that they kind of understand that a little bit. And I just try and harp that it's, you know, they're probably putting in just as much effort as I am. So hopefully it adds a bit of relatability to it, but.
Yeah. It's like, they're seeing you do the same thing that they are. So it's like proof's in the pudding too. Totally, right. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's where, you know, Strava can be, you know, you got to be careful with social media these days. Strava's part of that, but you know, these are good tools to have if you're using them in the right way. And I think that's a good way to use them. I use Strava as a log. That's how I log all my mileage. That's how I look at how I'm doing my workouts and stuff. I'm not super analytical in terms of, like, I try and work on effort a lot of the time. So if I have a workout, I go on feel and then check the numbers after, kind of thing, you know? Because like you say, when you're going through a block or you're going through work or other stresses in life, it's going to feel different on different days, just like it does on race day. So, and I think if people can get a hold of that and use it in a positive way, I think it can be super beneficial, you know, and inspiring too. Like you said.
And I completely agree. Strava is a great tool, but, you know, I'm in the same breath. Like, I think if someone is looking at my stuff and being like, oh wow, like, how does this guy do this? Like, you know, I'm doing the same thing with, like, Cam Levins. Like, I'm seeing that he's putting out, and I'm like, and I know what he's doing in his off days, and I'm like, how is this? But then you got to remember, like, he's run 27 minutes for 10K. You know, I you can't really, it's like, you can't quite compare what he's able to do. You know, his ceiling in the marathon is like, that's why it's so high. So it is interesting, but the same dynamic happens to the best of us. And I'm sure he has someone on Strava that he's looking at and be like, how is, or, you know, how is he able to do this? And, yeah, I think it happens to everyone. Maybe not Cam Levins, but we'll see.
Yeah. You never know, right? Like, you never, the marathon's a funny thing. Did you, when you started running, did you ever think the marathon was in the realm of possibility, or was it something you never thought you would end up doing?
You know, I don't think I ever had that in my mind starting out. It's definitely just kind of happened. I think if you asked me when I was like, even in university, if I was going to be running marathons, I would have been like kind of joking and laughing. I think at the time I was running like 1500. So, I think the more, as a running like junkie, and, you know, I just love the sport and the history of it, I think the marathon is just so cool. And I think, I'm glad that I've pursued it. And I think the training has just come very naturally to me. And I love just the whole, you know, grind of it, the whole dynamic, even with your coach. I think it's a bit more hands-on and a bit more of an adventure versus like doing stuff on the track. You're just constantly like rolling repeats on the track. It's a bit of a different dynamic. We're doing stuff on the roads. And I love it. And so, yeah, I don't think I ever really had it in the cards. It's, I think when I started working with Richard, it might be like, I feel like almost 8 years now. I'm sure he had it in the back of his mind, like, oh yeah, this guy's gonna be a good marathoner. And he was slowly kind of, you know, bridging that gap, in mileage. And so I'm sure if you ask him, he probably had a different scenario in his head. When he got a hold of me, when I was running, like, I think it was just running 3:41 in the 15 at that time. So, I never really had it from the outset that I wanted to like run marathons, I guess.
Okay. And how did you find this coach, and where do you think the, can you pinpoint somewhere where there was a breakthrough and why you think that might have taken place?
Yeah. So, Rich is, he's just, he was a big influence of a lot of like top runners in BC, for years. He had a group. And so I always knew of him. And, you know, when I was in high school, I would see them training down at Stanley Park, and they always looked, you know, very official, and they, you know, they just looked really cool in my eyes. And so I knew Richard was always very methodical, coach. And if I was to ever pursue the marathon, or, you know, make a stab at, you know, just seeing how far I could take running, he would be, the man for the job, and he would be able to kind of get me there. We've grown really close over the years. You know, I see him every other day, and, it's been awesome, amazing just to have that dynamic. And it's something I didn't think I would appreciate, is the like sharing, like with track stuff, it's a different dynamic with your coach, because they're kind of there with the stopwatch. But what's been really cool with the marathon and the half stuff is, you know, Rich is on the bike. He's able to share a bit more of the journey. And I think that's been just really cool. And I think very beneficial for our like coach athlete relationship. I forgot the second point to your question though.
Oh, just like where you felt like you broke through.
Yeah. It's hard to say. It's always tough, because I don't know if it's necessarily a result that indicate breaking through, or is it the training? I think, you know, it did take me a couple of years to kind of get used to the volume I was doing. And that's just because I think my body hadn't really quite matured yet. And I'd been coming from the 1500 and I was running, you know, pretty low mileage. And then, and we just started doing a fair bit more work on the track. And I think I had a few hiccups here and there. And then I've, you know, so through 2018, you know, 2019, I started to find a pretty good groove. And then, yeah, I think that's that year I made, funny enough, I made the world cross relay team, which I probably had no business making.
Why do you say that?
Looking back on it, I think they went off of like your world ranking from indoors or outdoors. And, I mean, I shouldn't say I had no business, but, it was just, it was a 2K, 4x2K relay. And they took your 5K or 3K or 1500 time. Anyway, I'm not sure. I can't remember how I ended up making the team. I think it was because I ran a 5K indoors, and because there's not many 5Ks run indoors, like my world rank, it gave me a pretty good, you know, world ranking. I still ran like 14 flat that year, so I shouldn't, you know, pre super shoe, mind you. yeah, I mean, so I think I carried a bit of momentum is what I was trying to get into. Like I made my, you know, second or third national team, mind you, it was a relay for 4x2K, but I carried a lot of momentum and a lot of confidence that year. And then I think that was a month later was a Sun Run, Vancouver Sun Run. And I ended up winning that. And I think that was kind of like the tipping point of like, okay, we've got a good thing going on right now. And one of those things was, you know, Rich is a man of few words, and if you get like an inch of, you know, a compliment from a workout, you know, you've had like a phenomenal one. Like Ben and I joke that we'll have like the, you know, best workouts out of our lives. And then we'll like the most we'll get is like a fist bump. And I think that's what makes Rich so good, is that there's no like mountains and valleys. He's so calm and cool, and it's just kind of work for him. And it's just, you know, we're getting the work in, and at the end of the day, mm-hmm. that's kind of what matters. But I think pre Sun Run, he was like, I thought I could do really well, quite well. And he kind of gave me like, I think you're going to win this. He had never maybe said that prior. And that really gave me a lot more confidence in myself. And then, yeah, it ended up going well. And then since then, it's been pretty smooth sailing. And I mean, minus a pandemic, I've just moved more into the roads. And, but I think that was probably one of the bigger breakouts, on like the Canadian scene, I should say.
Mm-hmm. And it had been a long time since a local had won it too, right?
So yeah, I think that was, since I was like, since 92, which, mm-hmm. which is really cool. So,
so what does a compliment sound like from Rich?
That was good. you know, you had fist bump, you had thumbs up. He has this thing. Do you remember those like Staples commercials from back in the day where they had, I think it was Staples, where they had like a button that was like, you press it and it says like, that was easy. You ever remember that?
Yeah. So
I think he used this back with Dylan when he was doing marathon sessions, and that would have been like the thing you press after the workout, if it went well, right? So that, mm-hmm. you know, that gives a snapshot into Rich. But and that's not a, you know, not a negative. I think it's more of a positive that with the marathon, especially, like you can't, it does keep us very calm. And at the end of the day, you're not smashing, you know, smashing one workout won't make or break your race. It's, you know, the entirety of the build and what you've done, you know, months prior. So I think having that perspective in training, like we get after training, but it's not like, not just like, oh, you're going to run this. And then if we have the next workout, it's kind of cruddy, you know, we don't get anything. So it keeps mm-hmm. us pretty level, which I think is very beneficial. But I do say it is interesting dynamic because Rich is very, you know, calm, cool, and collected. My dad, on the other hand, he's kind of like my hype man, and you know, I'll tell him afterwards, like about the workout, and then he'll go like, they'll go like kind of nuts. So I kind of get both. I kind of get both both sides still. But yeah, Rich is always like very calm. Very calm.
But your dad knows what it is. He has a comparable. Yeah. You know, like Rich can't get all hyped up because he's got to keep you humble.
Totally.
You know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, your dad's totally
he's the
allowed
biggest
to do
man.
That.
Yeah, he's the hype machine for sure.
That's cool. What are some of your like favorite marathon workouts? And do you think it's more like success or making improvements in the marathon is you think it can be more attributed to overall volume than it is to the workouts themselves?
It's hard to say. I think it's a bit of both, and you can't have one without the other, I think. So that's a very political answer. But I do think, you know, looking back on I've run three marathons now, and the builds have been very different each one. This one, I was definitely doing more volume, and I had more long sessions, you know, touching 40K, I think I had a couple of them. Whereas, you know, the first build, I maybe got there once, and it took a lot out of me. So I think it's just been a bit of like maturity in handling the load and handling the volume. In terms of workouts, it's always, I do love the lately, the last build, we've been, we did a lot of work in Stanley Park, and there's this famous, like, well, I don't know how famous it is. It's famous within like BC running circles, I should say, called the Palmer Loop. It's a 5-mile like loop in Stanley Park, and it's a bit of a grind. And if you're able to hit marathon pace on that, you're doing pretty good, come race day. So that's where we did a lot of work this past marathon. And I think that helped a ton. But yeah, we did like, you know, a lot of long runs with just work in amongst it, you know, a lot of progression runs. Some of my favorite actually workouts have been progression runs where you're finishing, you know, with a pretty fast 5K. I'm trying to think what but that being said, I do still value a lot of stuff that we do on the track. I think if I'm able to, you know, hammer out, you know, 20 by 400, you know, and still keep my legs moving around 63, 64s. And I'm doing like a, you know, in that same build, I'm also getting in like a couple 40K efforts. I know, come race day, I'll be pretty well-rounded and ready to go. So it's hard to say what my favorite session is, but
and it leads to some pretty interesting results. Like you raced in 20, between your two marathons, I should say. Did you race in 2021 late, and then ran Ottawa, and that's where your best marathon was, almost 4 minutes between the two times, right? So like, did you race those differently? Did you like, it's a pretty significant improvement, you know, in time. So like, how do you race these races? Like, did something change drastically in your training to get that? Or was it just like building off the fitness from the first one and then carrying it
over? Yeah, I think it's twofold. I think I definitely learned a lot from those first two marathons. I think, you know, what I gained from the training for those two marathons, like, definitely was, you know, still in the legs, but I think a lot of it was more my mental approach, to the marathon. I think those first two, the big thing with Ottawa was what we wanted was to kind of just run a smart marathon. It wasn't necessarily like, I want to run a fast marathon like the first two. It was more of like, I want to run strong. I want to go out and feel good and then bring it back even a little faster. And so that was kind of the whole mentality. And that's why we chose Ottawa, because we know it, you know, it's not necessarily the fastest courses. And it could be typically a little hotter. So it was just a good, you know, marathon that, you know, didn't put pressure on me to like just knock it out of the park, if that makes sense. So it gave it a little bit more leeway to how we trained. We did a lot more, a lot more stuff in Stanley Park on that polymer loop where it was a lot more effort based. We're rolling on hills and you're trying to run marathon effort or faster. So it just gave me, I think a bit more, it just changed my approach to the race. And I think when you change your approach, it's easier to deal with negative circumstances. Cause if you're running for time, I guess, and you kind of fall off that time, it's hard to kind of stay on it and lock in. Whereas, you know, with Ottawa, everything was kind of positive. It was all bonus. Like, oh, if I run, you know, I'm going to go out in, I think we went out in, 68, I think, or no, I can't remember what I went through. And, but it was all like everything. It wasn't time-based necessarily. I just wanted to, you know, be top Canadian and I wanted to, see how high I could place. Whereas these previous marathons, I lost that racing aspect of it. And I was just more about there trying to hold a certain pace for a certain period. And once you lose, that starts to slip through your fingers a bit, it's really hard to snap out of that. And so I think that was one of the biggest changes. But I think also, you know, we did run a fair bit more volume this last marathon. I think that's just my body is just, you know, been able to, you know, the first go at it, like, you know, a marathon, it's still a long ways, but I was still had this thing in my mind. I'm like, how am I going to feel at like 36, 37, 38 K? And now I knew that like on my worst day, I'm going to go run 2:17, or hopefully, you know, the first two marathons, I definitely hit certain parts in the race where the wheels fell off. You know, the first one, it was a long grind the last half. The second one, I thought I was a lot more patient, a lot more conservative. And then the last, you know, 8K just knocked me on my butt. So this one was all about like, how patient and how calm and how reserved can I be until like 32K and then see what I can do. So yeah, very different dynamic, but I don't think I would have had that perspective if I didn't go through those first two.
And there's something to learn from all of them. And I think that's also how I like to approach my races now too. It's like 30, 32. If you got something, like open up and let it go. It's a place where you can make a race or it can make you.
Yeah,
you
know? Totally.
So, and I like what you said too. It sounds like you're going more off of effort instead of letting the watch dictate your times, you know? I find that's when I changed. It's something I've been exploring a lot more recently. And, you know, mainly I think because the workouts are given in language, yeah, in effort, you know, what, like, do your 5K, what 5K should feel like, or what marathon should feel like. And that's kind of been, when you have a marathon pace in your workout, but you're ambitious and you hope to run faster, it's like, what time do you actually go off? You know, you kind of just got to think like, can I hold this for a marathon? Maybe.
Totally.
And that's kind of hard to judge a little bit, you know, but I think it's a much healthier approach to running and effort-based progress.
Yeah, it's definitely a learned, and I'm by no means have perfected it at all. But it definitely, changed like my approach and how I was expecting my body to feel at certain points in the race is, you know, changed a fair bit, and you're almost like holding back a little bit. Whereas the first two, I was like, definitely didn't do that and got excited. And, it's interesting, how things develop, and I'm always blown away by people that come out and just crush their first marathon. But you know, everyone, everyone's different. And Ben, my training partner, went and ran 2:10 in his first marathon. And everyone's different and everyone has a different path. And I think that's what makes running so fun, is that, you know, you don't know, like every race, every run is different, and it's how you respond to those different obstacles that I think help you develop as an individual. So
for sure, where do you want to get to in the marathon?
I think I'm capable of running 2:10. I probably am going against myself. I was just talking about like competing and racing, and now I'm throwing out a time. But I think in my mind, I think in order for me to be competitive, on the Canadian scene, I think you have to be running, probably faster than 2:10, to be honest. I just want to, back to why I started this sport is just to see how far I could take it, and how far I could push myself. And I think I'm capable of that. But I also I'm in it for the experiences. I think running's given me a pretty unique way to see the world and meet people. And I think a lot of people maybe are thinking their twilights of their careers, kind of in their 30s. And I'm really enjoying marathoning. I think it's kind of given me a lot more resurgence to running. And I'd like to see, where I could kind of take it still. So to answer your question, I'm not sure. I just want to see how fast I can go.
Yeah. I mean, that makes total sense. How fast you can go, right? Like, that's the key. Like, it's about the personal pursuit, and you're doing it for yourself and you love the sport, and why not push your limits? And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think we all want to get the best out of ourselves, the best out of our lives. So, and it kind of trickles down and teaches us other lessons in life too, which is cool. And about the age thing, I mean, Kipchoge is 37 and Tash is up there. Melindy also incredible and well into their 30s. And he's actually still doing amazing things. So there's still time for us yet. What would you say running has taught you?
Oh my. It's a great question. I think it's taught me a lot. It's taught me, patience. It's taught me how to deal with pressure and how to deal with anxiety, and I think taught me, gratitude and how to be humble too. I think it's such a wide array. I think if anything, it's also just taught me more to be present. I think these days more than ever with, how much we have to be on our phones or we're connected on our phones. I think it's so nice to my fiance, Lindsay Butterworth, also runner, Olympian, I should say, nice shout out. Some of our best conversations come when we're on the run or when we're running together, because we have no other distractions and we're there and we're so present with one another. Not to say that we don't have good conversations outside of running, but you know what I mean. I think that's something that we used to be so trivial. I'm sure 20 years ago me saying this now would be like, what do you mean you're not present? But it's definitely sad truth. I think running is just like, when else are you that in tune with how your body feels, and where you are? And, I think it's one of the more beautiful aspects of why I love running too. So.
And what would you say running means to you?
My goodness. It means a lot. It's my identity. It's my outlet. It's my pursuit. It's it's so much. My social aspect. It's hard to think what my life would be like without running, I guess. It does a lot, and it means a lot to me in various capacities.
For sure. Yeah. It trickles into all kinds of different parts of our life. I realized that on that last trip that I took, you know, you're traveling to a new place, meeting different people all for the same passion, you know, which is running, and it brings people together. So that's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
Always, you know. Justin, where can people find out more about you?
I'm on Instagram, and I probably don't share as much as I should, but I'm on Instagram. My closest like bio or anything about me is through Mile to Marathon. Beyond that, I mean, yeah, I don't have a website, I guess. But I'm incognito, you know. I am on Strava, even then, I only upload like some workouts here and there. I don't, a lot of my off days and stuff, I usually just go analog, and I'm a pretty open book, I think. Beyond that, I'm a simple life. But I'm on Instagram, Strava, and find me at miletomarathon.com.
Cool. Well, Justin, thanks so much for taking the time to share with us today. And congrats on your engagement. And this episode might come out just before your wedding.
Oh, amazing.
So I appreciate you, and keep on pushing, and can't wait to see what you're up to next.
Oh, well, thanks, Justin. And thanks for having me on and thinking of me. And hope your body's recovering well from Berlin.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Nice.
Take care, man.
Awesome. Thank you.
I've been running for a while now, 12 years in fact. It's funny to look back on how I got started and how different things are for me now. I made a lot of mistakes, simply because I didn't know any better. I ran hard every time I went out. I ran longer and fewer days to increase volume. I wasn't recovering as well as I should have, and I didn't prepare long enough for distances I was taking on. What I wish I did from the start was get a coach to help guide me through and teach me the right way. Sound familiar? Well, I learned a lot from those early mistakes, and now I want to help you. Over the last year, I've gradually entered into the world of coaching, helping athletes of all levels reach their goals. It's virtual, interactive, one-on-one training that will help you focus on running so that you can hit your next target. Just shoot me a message at jpugs84 on Instagram with any questions you may have, and we'll take things from there. I look forward to working with you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to leave your reviews for us on Apple Podcasts or message us directly on Instagram with your comments, feedback, and suggestions for future guests. Now take what you've learned and run with it.
The Rundown is a WRG production, produced by Leslie Woods and Forrest McKay. All the amazing graphics you see on social media are created by Ryan Bondi, and the show is hosted by me, Justin Pugliese.